Welcome in to another edition of the Daily Tap. It is Monday, March 26th. How are we doing, Tappers? We are heading into the last week in March. Baseball is back officially on Thursday. Crazy. Crazy that we're already heading into April. Big month ahead of us. Snow Tap Party soon on the way. Details hopefully to come very soon on that. But once again, you can find us, SnowTapWI, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, SnowTapWI, on also the website. It is a website, SnowTapWI.com. Appreciate all you guys checking that out. SoundCloud, iTunes, Google Play, whatever your preference is, you can listen and subscribe there. We are excited to talk to you guys about a variety of topics. We got a good little set here. We're starting it off with Allen Robinson. Had some interesting comments to the media about his choice to go play for the Chicago Bears. Basically said he preferred to go with the Bears over the Packers. We're going to hear a lot of things talked about today. I mean, that's going to be, this is like catnip for local radio, right? Because people are going to be like, I can't believe this guy would want to play for the Bears instead of the Packers. All right, first of all, yes, this is going to be a freakout topic. I get it. I get it because people are like, oh, wow, this guy didn't want to play for the – and where everyone's going to be kind of like offended. Couple things. We've talked about this before on podcasts with Tyra Matthew and a few others. He probably wanted to live in Chicago. Like, let's be real here. I think Allen Robinson's single. If he's not, I apologize to his girlfriend or his wife. But like, hey, being a single dude in Green Bay or being a single dude in Chicago, you probably would want to be a single dude in Chicago. I'm not going to be mad at that. He's going to want to get his rocks off. He's going to want to make sure that he has his Tinder game on fleek. Like, I'm not mad at him for that at all. And even if he isn't single, it's still nice to be in Chicago. It's good to build a brand in Chicago. If you want to be a guy and you want to do receiver things, receivers are divas by nature. To build a name for yourself, Chicago is where it's at, just from a overall standpoint of where you sit. Now, you can still build a brand with the Packers because you can run and win championships. Allen Robinson apparently doesn't want to do that. He wants to kind of be a part of this rebuild thing. And it's like, you'd think after you did this with the Jacksonville Jaguars, after you got mad at Blake Bortles for not throwing you the ball and not getting you the ball of what you need, that you're going to trust Mitch Trubisky and Matt Nagy to do the same thing. I mean, go ahead, man. Take your choice. If that's what you want to do, that's fine. No one's stopping you. But the fact is you just don't want to roll with the best. I get it. Sometimes it's a little too much for people. So, yeah, I see the side of realistic, and then I get cocky about it because you know what? You're taking a big risk. You're taking a very big risk. And it was clear to me that Robinson did not want to have the pressure of being a Packer. And that's fine. I mean, if that's how you want to roll, man, that's cool. I understand it. I mean, going from Jacksonville to Green Bay is a different sort of thing. I mean, you'd be seeing a lot of different guards. You're in a smaller bubble than Jacksonville even. And in Chicago, you're just a dude and they don't expect you to win championships yet. I mean, people, I think with the moves the Bears made, I think Bears fans are going to expect the playoffs this year. So you're going to have a little bit of pressure, but you're not going to have the pressure that you would if you came into Lambeau, especially if you were replacing Jordy Nelson. And now the fact that, and the other thing is like, they could sign Jordan Matthews. I don't know how close they are. He visited and then we don't know where it came from. And it's like, if they sign Jordan Matthews, who's the guy who was drafted right around where Robinson was, they're going to get him for much less money. And he can probably do similar things. He's not going to be as good as Allen Robinson. Like, don't get me wrong, but he's not coming off a major knee injury either. So, Allen, I'm not going to be all mad about it. If you think I'm mad, I'm not mad. I'm just like, it's fine. It just adds fuel to the glimmer of rivalry that's there. I mean, the Bears have lost 14 of 17 against the Packers in the 2000s and on. So they are an afterthought. I mean, the rival right now is Minnesota, and you could argue that Detroit's a bigger rival than the Bears. The Bears-Packer rivalry is for people who are of the older generation. Bears-Packers doesn't really exist for the younger ones. It may exist in Bears fans' heads, but Packer fans don't even think about them. It's kind of like Don Draper when he goes into the elevator and goes, I don't even think about you. I don't think about the Bears. I don't worry about the Bears. I may or may not have said the Bears scare me one summer, got picked up, and it was like a meme amongst friends. Do you guys get that? Like, maybe I'm alone, but I have like certain things I've said to my boys or took one boy who's made it into a thing with all of our friends, and you just kind of become a meme within yourself. I guess it's an inside joke. It also is known as that, but you get what I'm saying, right? Like, it's just weird. So anyways, Allen Robinson can roll on, man. We'll see you whenever the Bears play the Packers, and then we'll kick your ass like the Bears. What usually happens when the Bears and Packers get together, and that'll be that. And so, yes, good, best of luck to Mr. Robinson and what he's going to be as the number one receiver for the Bears. Look forward to playing him. All right, moving to the Final Four. The Final Four is all ready to go. It is Villanova. It is Kansas, Loyola, Michigan. Now, we talked about Loyola and Michigan on the Daily Tap yesterday. Go back and listen to that if you have not checked it out. But the Villanova and Kansas are probably two of the best teams of the last few years. It's definitely a great draw for college basketball. I think college basketball has to be happy with what they have here. And people are going to say that Villanova and Kansas is a national championship game. I disagree with that wholeheartedly. I think Michigan's playing really good basketball. I don't think you can discredit what Michigan has done to like and say, oh yeah, no, this is the last game. This is the last game that matters. Michigan can easily beat Villanova, and they can easily beat Kansas. So don't get it twisted. Now, could Loyola beat either of those teams? I think Loyola Villanova is kind of like that Kentucky matchup we talked about last week. It's definitely a David versus Goliath. Same actually if they're playing Kansas. Now, if Kansas were to lose to Loyola after they've lost to VCU, I don't know if Bill Self can actually live that down. But that is for a podcast next week, potentially. So for Villanova, I love the way they played. I think they played one of their worst games ever. They could not shoot from three, but Eric Pascal was huge down low, as well as like Alanova just cleaning up the boards. DiVincenzo had a huge offensive rebound. That was a major moment in that game. Villanova was able to match Texas Tech's defense, and they played really, really hard. Like, they just were so gritty, and that's, I think, what has made them and Michigan, I think, are the two best teams right now in the tournament. I think Kansas is right there. They're like, if you power rank the Final Four, I think it's Villanova, I think it's Michigan, and I think it's Kansas, but I think Villanova separates themselves from Michigan and Kansas, but just by a little bit, and Michigan-Kansas could be intertwined. You could argue either way on that, but you know, the thing is about all three of those teams though, is they've won with different fashions each time, and it's been different guys, and that's the true symbol of a champion, especially in this tournament, in this single elimination dance. Duke Kansas played just an absolute classic, man. That was such a good basketball game. It was so funny to see people complain about the Stormy Daniels interview, which, to be honest, was really nothing. She just basically said she fucked the future president. I mean, that's all she said. She's like, oh, I was in this room with him, and we had sex. I'm like, okay, great. And now I'm sure Pornhub's going to come out with like stats, but you have to think people are going to be just looking all over for Stormy Daniels porn. I mean, that's, you have to. I mean, it's just kind of a natural. It's like a Pavlov's dog thing, where if like you hear a porn star's name or like you see her in the news, like you just kind of have to take a look and maybe give a J.O. Like, that's just the thing. It's like when all those porn stars were dying, I would have felt wrong not to at least pay tribute to Austin Ames in the best way I know possible. Like, that's just what you do. Sorry, not sorry. That's how life works. So as I go back to Duke and Kansas, that game, yes, was a classic. It was a great basketball game. I thought that was as enjoyable of a college basketball game as we've seen pretty much all year. I mean, teams were going shot after shot. There were some dumb mistakes. But it was an entertaining game. And Malik Newman will be recognized for Kansas for a long time. I mean, he goes off for 32 points in this one. He's averaging 21 in the tournament. He's doing a Sean May, Derek Williams impression where he's going to get drafted very high. I actually really like him. Like, I really enjoy watching him play. because he just attacks the basket. Like, he has a three-point shot too, but like, he's fearless. Like, he doesn't avoid contact at all. Just goes right at shot blockers, and it's incredible to watch. And so, yes, he's putting on a magical run to the tournament, and he can definitely help carry this team past Villanova. They can beat Villanova. I've said I think Villanova is the best team. Don't get me wrong, but Kansas has what it takes. I mean, Bill Self had a coaching clinic against Krzyzewski today. He absolutely coached a better game than Kay, and was just tearing apart that zone. And Kansas, you know, probably shouldn't have let Duke back in that game, but they did. And you'll always wonder as a Duke fan why Marvin Bagley only touched the ball 9 times. That is absurd. The fact that he only had 9 shot attempts, and Grayson Allen went all hero ball to try to win his game and etch his name in Duke lore has to be infuriating this morning for Duke fans. Like, they have to just be wondering what if. And so now Duke is gone, and we get Kansas Villanova, which should be an awesome second game for the Final Four. And don't sleep on Loyola and Michigan. Loyola and Michigan is going to be a lot of fun as well as the opener. So that should be a good time. All right. So Tapping the Keg is coming out tomorrow. Mitch and I will tell you, we'll talk a lot about Major League Baseball and the Brewers and what transpires there with their season. But before that happens, we're going to talk a little bit about the NL Central and the National League and what they're dealing with right now, and what could be the enemies, the eye on the opposition, as the cliche goes. So the Brewers will play in the easiest division in the National League. No bones about it. Pirates and Reds both are trash. Reds maybe a little bit more of a come up this year than last year. Pirates have just started a rebuild, getting rid of guys like Andrew McCutchen and Gerrit Cole. So the Brewers can and should take advantage of all of their games against the Pirates and Reds this season. Now, for the other divisions, the NL East and the NL West really do not have as many taking teams. Now, granted, the NL East has the Marlins, who are going to be an absolute train wreck, and the NL West has the Padres, who are going to be all right, but they're not. I don't think they're going to make any serious move to the top of the NL West, but those are both very competitive divisions with multiple teams vying for the playoff spots. I think when you look at the NL Central, the jury is definitely still out on St. Louis. Like, I don't necessarily think the Cardinals are an immediate contender and a threat to the Brewers. I think they're going to be good, but the starting pitching isn't there. They lose Lance Lynn. They could have got him back. They didn't. I mean, 1-year deal is kind of crazy that they didn't think about bringing him back. Adam Wainwright is already hurt with a hamstring injury. Alex Reyes, I believe, won't be back till middle of the year with a Tommy John injury. Carlos Martinez, very good, obviously dominates the Brewers, but you just have to wonder a little bit about it. The Cardinals didn't do enough. I mean, Marcell Ozuna, great player. He hits the shit out of the baseball, adds a ton of power to that Cardinals team, but are they going to have enough pitching to get them by? Or are they going to have to make a secondary move if they're close around the July month? Now, with the Cubs are very good. They added Yu Darvish. They added Tyler Chatwood. They have a very good roster. No Wade Davis, though. They will have a new closer in town, Brandon Morrow, who is of the Los Angeles Dodgers last year. Morrow was awesome, but, you know, he doesn't have really a lot of closing experience. You do have guys like Steve Cishek, and who has closed before and was dominant once upon a time. So who knows? Maybe that will happen. But where the Cubs really benefit is that rotation is filthy. I mean, John Lester, Kyle Hendricks, Yu Darvish, Jose Quintana, and Chatwood with Mike Montgomery and Eddie Butler right there. I mean, that's a pretty damn solid rotation. I mean, the fact that Montgomery is a 6th starter, I think he would be the Brewers' 4th starter. The Cubs are deep in that rotation, and that's definitely a scary proposition. And why the Cubs are the NL Central favorite, I'm not going to make bones about it that they're not. And they, I mean, obviously offense from head to toe, they have it. And Chicago is going to contend for another World Series, and hopefully the Brewers are can match them stride for stride. My favorite thing right now, and it's kind of a juxtaposition of how I was just talking down to Bears fans, but the MLB Network posted, like, the Brewers are coming, and all of the replies are Cubs fans basically like, I'm not worried. I'm not scared of the Brewers at all. I'm not worried at all. You can just tell that the Brewers have worked so much real estate in Cubs fans' heads that Cubs fans know that the Brewers are going to be right there with them. And they're not ready to admit that, but that Cubs are acting all high and mighty just because they won one fucking World Series and they've spent more money than any team not named the Yankees or the Red Sox. So I don't know really where Cubs fans come off and act like these scrappy, lovable losers. I mean, I've felt bad for the Cubs for a little while, but I'm kind of done with those motherfuckers. I said that before, but it just needs to be stated again. So the rest of the NL, I think, is going to be actually really tough. Like, I know that the whole talk about baseball is going to be the tanking and everything like that, but the fact is, like, Nationals are going to be very good. They're going to be a World Series contender. The Mets could contend for a wild card. So could the Phillies. You look at the NL West, Dodgers obviously are going to contend for a World Series. Then you have a Rockies team that's up and coming. You have a Diamondbacks team that's going nowhere. I mean, going nowhere, like, they're still going to be very good. And then the Giants team, who did lose Madison Baumgartner and Jeff Samardzija to injury, but they do have added some offense, so who knows? Maybe the Giants can come through with some major talent. It's not going to be easy for the Brewers. I talked about this on Saturday's podcast. You can go back and listen if you guys are daily listeners and knock a few out as you're sitting at the cube wondering how much shit you got into over the weekend. But, like, every game is going to matter for the Brewers, and that's something I think we'll talk about tomorrow on Tabbing the Keg too, about how important it is for the Brewers to get involved, finish every game, and make sure their dumb losses aren't left on the table. You're going to lose games, just don't lose dumb ones, and you'll be okay. So I do think the Brewers can be the second best team in the NL. Do I think they can beat the division, beat the Cubs, and take the division? Man, it's going to take a lot. That rotation is going to take a lot. It would take a very special year for it to happen. But you never know. You never know. All right, guys. We will talk tomorrow on Tabbing the Keg, back in the saddle with Mitchie for episode 278. And then we will be returning to the Daily Tap for Wednesday, getting you ready for Final Four. We also have late night hoops this week with the Bucks, so that'll be worth talking about. All right, guys, take care. Have a good Monday. Later.